acharattapa utamam tetekshuryata vagdanta orvareta chitanila ariradayeshu krishnam acharattapa utamam. Vaishnavis, to take sure, tolerating, yata, controlling. Vak, words, danta, controlling the senses, urvareta, without discharge of semen, jita anila, controlling the life air, ariradayishu, simply desiring, krishnam, Lord Krishna, acharat, practice, tapa, austerities, utamam, the best. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Prithu underwent all these severe austerities in order to control his words and his senses, to refrain from discharging his semen, and to control the life air within his body. All this he did for the satisfaction of Krishna. He had no other purpose. Purport. In Kali Yuga, the following is recommended. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kaloa nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. In order to be recognized by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should chant the holy name of the Lord continuously, 24 hours a day. Unfortunate persons who cannot accept this formula prefer to execute some type of pseudo-meditation without accepting the other processes of austerity. The fact is, however, that one must accept either the severe method of austerity described above to become purified, or take to the process of devotional service recommended for pleasing the Supreme Lord Krishna. The person who is Krishna conscious is most intelligent, because in Kali Yuga it is not at all possible to undergo such severe austerities. We need only follow great personalities like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his Shikshastika, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the holy names of Lord Krishna, which from the very beginning purify the heart and immediately liberate one. Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. If the real purpose of all yoga is to please Lord Krishna, then this simple bhakti yoga system recommended for this age is sufficient. It is necessary, however, to engage constantly in the service of the Lord. Although Prithu Maharaj executed his austerities long before the appearance of Lord Krishna on this planet, his purpose was still to please Krishna. There are many fools who claim that worship of Krishna began only about 5,000 years ago after the appearance of Lord Krishna in India, but this is not a fact. Maharaj Prithu worshipped Krishna millions of years ago, for Prithu happened to be a descendant of the family of Maharaj Dhruv, who reigned for 36,000 years during the Satya Yuga age. Unless his total lifespan was 100,000 years, how could Dhruva Maharaj reign over the world for 36,000 years? The point is that Krishna worship existed at the beginning of creation and has continued to exist throughout Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga, and now it is continuing in Kali Yuga. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna appears not only in this millennium of Brahma's life, but in every millennium. Therefore, worship of Krishna is conducted in all millenniums. It is not that Krishna worship began only when Krishna appeared on this planet 5,000 years ago. This is a foolish conclusion that is not substantiated by Vedic literature. Also of significance in this verse are the words Ariradayishu Krishnam Acharit Tapa Uttamam. Maharaj Prithu underwent severe types of austerities for the express purpose of worshipping Krishna. Krishna is so kind, especially in this age, that he appears in the transcendental vibration of his holy name. As is said in the Narada Pancharatra, Aradito yadi haris tapasa tatakim. If Krishna is worshipped, if he is the goal of advancement, there is no need for one to execute severe types of tapasya, because one has already reached his destination. If, after executing all types of tapasya, one cannot reach Krishna, all his tapasya has no value, for without Krishna, all austerity is simply wasted labor. Shrama eva hi kevalam. We should therefore not be discouraged just because we cannot go to the forest and practice severe austerities. Our life is so short that we must strictly adhere to the principles laid down by the Vaishnava Acharyas and peacefully execute Krishna consciousness. There is no need to become despondent. Narottam Das Thakur recommends, Anande Balahari Bhaja Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnavapad Majayaman. For a transcendental blissful life, chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Come worship the holy place of Vrindavan and always engage in the service of the Lord, of the spiritual master, and of the Vaishnavas. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore very safe and easy. We have only to execute the order of the Lord and fully surrender unto Him. We have only to execute the order of the spiritual master, preach Krishna consciousness and follow in the path of the Vaishnavas. The spiritual master represents both Lord Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Therefore, by following the instruction of the spiritual master and by chanting Hare Krishna, everything will be all right. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. Maharaj Prithu underwent all these severe austerities in order to control his words and his senses, to refrain from discharging his semen, and to control the life air within his body. All this he did for the satisfaction of Krishna. He had no other purpose. So we're hearing about Maharaj Prithu's preparation for leaving this world. He has accepted the vanaprastha order of life and gone to the forest. Srila Prabhupada explains to us that in this age, such practice will not be possible. However, some of the principles certainly are important for us to appreciate how Maharaj Prithu accepted this practice of brahmacharya, not wasting his semen, which is very important for spiritual progress. Srila Prabhupada told us that his own Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasati, was a naistika brahmachari, that he never ever allowed his semen to fall down. So, urva retaha, the semen went up. It didn't go down, it went up to the brain. And because he raised his semen to the brain, so he had very strong, very sharp intelligence, very powerful memory, and very great determination. Important qualities for progressing in spiritual life. Of course, we do not say only brahmacharis can become Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness is for everyone, regardless of their ashram. In this age, Lord Chaitanya has been very kind and merciful to give Krishna consciousness for everyone through the process of chanting the holy name. So Srila Prabhupada explains, we have a choice. Either we can accept the discipline which Maharaj Prithu accepted, going to the forest, raising his semen up and controlling his life airs, practicing very strict control of the senses, and in this way becoming liberated from material existence. The other process is chanting the holy name. Srila Prabhupada adds, however, means you have to engage in Krishna service constantly, 24 hours a day. Be fully engaged in Krishna service. Not that we just chant a couple of hours and then the rest of the day we're free, we do whatever we like. No, one has to be constantly engaged in Krishna's service. This is the process of devotional service. Then we can transcend the modes of material nature. So coming to that level of Krishna consciousness, we also have to control the senses. We don't have to do the rigorous austerities Maharaj Prithu was performing, but still there has to be some control of the senses. Prabhupada said, whether you're the grihastas, they can also be like brahmachari, grihastha brahmacharis. When they're following religious principles, then there's no difference. Grihe tako, vani tako, tambahari boli tako. Does not matter if you are in the renounced order of life or a grihastha, whatever position you're in, if you're a devotee of Lord Krishna, then we want your association. That is important. Association, very important. Association with who? Association with somebody who is Krishna conscious, who is going to help us to remember Krishna. This is our business as devotees. We use our time for remembrance of Krishna, just like Maharaj Prithu is mentioned here, that he was also a devotee of Krishna. Prabhupada remarks that even before the appearance of Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago, people were also devotees of Krishna. It is not that just since the appearance of Lord Krishna that people became devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna explains the history of Bhagavad Gita, that previously he instructed the science of yoga to the sun god Vivaswan. So this was millions of years ago, long before the appearance of Lord Krishna on this planet. But at that time also, Lord Krishna had instructed the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god. Here, Prabhupada is describing that Maharaj Prithu is born in the dynasty coming from Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj certainly appeared in the Satya Yuga because he ruled the world for 36,000 years. So in Satya Yuga, the duration of life was 100,000 years. Dhruva Maharaj was ruling for 36,000 years. Maharaj Prithu was born in that dynasty. As Krishna, the word Krishna is mentioned directly in this verse, that Maharaj, everything Maharaj Prithu did was for the pleasure of Krishna. Austerities are not... We do not give a lot of importance to austerity, to the practice of austerity. Certainly we cannot achieve Krishna by austerity. Krishna can only be achieved, love of Krishna is only achieved by devotion. But Gyan and Vairag naturally follow wherever there is devotion. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jnana yati asu vairagyam jnanam chayat ahaitukam. By practice of devotional service, one automatically acquires causeless knowledge and detachment. Jnana and vairag follow wherever there is devotion for the Lord. So Maharaj Prithu had devotion for the Lord. He was naturally inclined to renounce material association. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also points out, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya parita chetasam vaya vasayatmika buddhi samado na vidiyate. In the minds of those who are attached to material opulence and sense gratification, and who are bewildered by such things, then the resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. So very difficult to be Krishna conscious in a city like Mumbai. So much opulence, this nice temple, so opulent. We can easily be bewildered. If we become attached to facilities, then how will we remember Krishna? So we have to accept facilities in the mood of renunciation. Just like Sudama Vipra, he had gone to Dwarka not to get anything, just simply to have the association with Lord Krishna, because he and Lord Krishna had been friends in the Gurukula of Sandipani Muni. But when he returned to his home after visiting Dwarka, he saw that Lord Krishna had transformed his very, very poor, very simple residence into a beautiful mansion. And the rags, the very torn and old soiled dresses of his wife were now replaced by beautiful cloth, and she was decorated with so many valuable ornaments and jewelry, and they had also servants. So his whole lifestyle was transformed into inconceivable opulence, almost on the level of Lord Krishna in Dwarka. How did Sudama Vipra accept all of this opulence? It is described, he accepted it all in the mood of renunciation to increase his remembrance of Lord Krishna. He did not accept it for material enjoyment. So in the Kali Yuga, it is very easy for brahmacharis to be bewildered on the path of self-realization. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the example of Ajamila. That Ajamila, as a young man, was also a pure brahmachari and a good brahmana. His father had requested him one day to go to the forest to collect some flowers and other materials necessary for their worship of the deity. However, when Ajamila was going to the forest or returning from the forest, at that time, he happened to see a Sudra couple embracing. They were intoxicated by liquor, and they were embracing each other in exhibiting all kinds of lust and passion for each other. Ajamila, seeing this couple in this degraded condition, was bewildered. His mind became bewildered. Although he went home, his mind could never forget the scene which he had witnessed. And after some time, he went to look for that woman who had been embracing this man in the most degraded manner, in public. Generally, such things should never be seen in public. But in the Kali Yuga, you see them everywhere. Every billboard, the advertising media utilize such things. The attraction for the opposite sex is the media for advertising. Television commercials, movies. Nowadays, you know, if they have a movie which doesn't have a rape scene in it, then it will not attract many viewers. People enjoy to see these things. How unfortunate the people of Kali Yuga are, and how difficult it makes the life of someone who is aspiring to practice brahmacharya or any kind of renunciation. Very difficult, because there's so much temptation. The mind is constantly being bombarded with these things everywhere. Ajamila was just one victim. That was long ago. But in the present time, so many young men are victims to the media. However, we're reminded that although such temptation is very strong, and certainly and everyone can be attracted by such things, that if we take shelter of the holy name, we can overcome these things. And the example is there for us, how Haridas Thakur overcame such attractions. That Haridas Thakur had been doing his nam bhajan carefully in a cave, but because of his renunciation, he was getting a lot of attention from the public. People were glorifying him. And one man became envious that this Haridas, he's simply a rascal, he's a cheater, he's not really a genuine sadhu. So this one man arranged for a woman of low character to go there and degrade him. The idea being that once the woman degraded Haridas, then this man would come with the police officers and they would have Haridas arrested and he would be put in jail and punished. So with this intention, the woman went to where Haridas was doing his chanting, and she went in the night. And when she came before Haridas and requested that he should enjoy with her, but Haridas simply told her, "I have not yet finished my chanting. You will have to wait till I finish my chanting." So the whole night she waited. And then in the morning, when the sun rose, then Haridas says, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was not able to finish my chanting. Tonight again you can come. Maybe tonight you can enjoy." So the next night again the woman came, and Haridas was still chanting, and she waited. And again the morning came, the sun rose, and then the woman declared that she no longer wanted to enjoy with him, but she also wanted to chant. She had also been influenced by the chanting of Haridas Thakur. So Haridas told her, "You go home and you give away all of your belongings to the Brahmanas and to the Vaishnavas, and you come back here." And the woman came back after giving away all of her possessions. She came back, and then Haridas Thakur gave her his place of bhajan, and he went to another place and left that woman to sit and chant the holy name. So by his spiritual potency, Haridas Thakur was not degraded, but he influenced the woman and he made the woman into a devotee. That is spiritual power. It is not very easy. We cannot imitate such behavior. We don't have the spiritual potency of Haridas Thakur. Sometimes when we go out for book distribution, sometimes you have to distribute books to women and you have to preach to women. But we should always remember our purpose, that our purpose is to give them Krishna consciousness and to engage them in Krishna service. Just like I was reading one book written by a god brother, His Holiness Dhanavir Goswami, and he was describing when he first became a devotee, he had gone out on Sankirtan, and Dhanavir Maharaj, before becoming a devotee, he had been the singer in a music group, you know, and he had, you know, girlfriend and like that. So when he became a devotee, he went out on Sankirtan and he happened to meet an old girlfriend. So he sold her a book, you know. So like the, you know, he engaged her in Krishna consciousness. Tamal Krishna Goswami described also how Tamal Krishna Goswami described one when he wrote a book about his life as a devotee. So his mother heard that he had written a book. So she called him up and she asked him that, "I heard you've written a book about your life, about how you became involved with the Krishna consciousness movement. Can you give me the book? I'd like to read the... Can you give me a copy?" So he said, "All right, send $5 and I'll send you the book." He thought, "I want to engage her in Krishna consciousness," you see. Because he said, "I know my mother was an atheist. She was not a religious woman. So I thought, let her do some service for Krishna." So like that, this is the principle, yukta vairagya, that we want to utilize everything, everyone in Krishna service. But at the same time, we have to be careful that we do not become degraded by these things. There's a certain danger in material opulence. what is sense gratification for one person may not be sense gratification for another person. Sometimes, you know, people coming in household of life, certainly, they will live in a different style of life from what brahmacharis and sannyasis live. You know, householders, for example, they're used to having their home and some facility, some privacy, some space for themselves. Whereas in brahmachari life, like that, it's a different, very different kind of life. You live together and can sleep anywhere, can eat anything, you know, whatever given we can eat, like that. This is the thinking of brahmachari life, you know. We're not fussy, we're not particular about, oh, I can't live here, I can't eat this, I can, you know, whatever we give. Brahmachari life is like that, you know. There's some renunciation there, that we accept whatever Krishna provides. Whereas in household life, it may not be quite like that. They can't live it the way household, the way the brahmacharis live. But at the same time, the center of activity has to be to please Krishna, consciousness of Krishna. In everything we do, we have to be thinking how to please Krishna, how to satisfy Krishna. And that, of course, begins with chanting of the holy name, pure chanting of the holy name. And doing service, not simply for our own pleasure, but for the pleasure of Krishna. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana karma janavritam anuku yena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttamam. A service for Krishna, it must be for the pleasure of Krishna. We don't simply act for our pleasure. We don't just do things what is pleasing for ourselves, for our senses, but what is pleasing to Krishna. Sometimes, you know, we find people complain that people are not happy sometimes. They criticize devotees like this. It's difficult to please everyone. We cannot expect to please everyone. And that's not our duty. Our duty is not to please everyone. Our duty is simply to please Krishna. Krishna's representative, the Vaishnavas, the devotees. If they are pleased, then we know that Krishna is also pleased. So we conduct our activities in this consciousness. Not that we have to renounce living here in this temple. Oh, it's too opulent. No, I'll fall down. We have to live in any situation. We have to be Krishna conscious anywhere. Prabhupada came to Hong Kong. And Barijan Prabhu, who was in charge of the Hong Kong Center at that time, had arranged with one Indian man to give the penthouse suite in the biggest hotel, most expensive hotel in Hong Kong. And they received Prabhupada with a Rolls Royce car, you know, the most expensive car you could get, to pick him up from the airport, to bring him to the penthouse suite in the most expensive hotel in Hong Kong. And the reporters were surprised. Oh, Swamiji, you're a holy man? You're having so much opulence? Prabhupada said, if I simply sat under a tree, you would not come to see me. But at the same time, Prabhupada left Hong Kong, went to Bhubaneswar. And at that time, in Bhubaneswar, Gaur Govinda Maharaj was living in his mud hut in Bhubaneswar. The temple had not yet even begun construction. Simply some mud hut had been built and Gaur Govinda Maharaj was living there. There were actually two mud huts. And when Prabhupada came there, Gaur Govinda Maharaj told Prabhupada that I will get you a room in a hotel or I will arrange for you to stay in a life member house, whichever you prefer. Prabhupada said, no, I want to live in this mud hut next to you. You live here, I will live in this other hut next. And the two huts are still there. So Prabhupada could accept whatever was provided by the grace of Krishna. Prabhupada did not demand certain facilities. Oh, I need this to be Krishna conscious. I need this to preach. Prabhupada could preach anywhere, in any situation. Sometimes they would arrange helicopter to bring Prabhupada for the programs. We thought, you know, so much traffic jams, we will arrange helicopter. Prabhupada remarked when he came, after they did it 1 year in London, the next time he came back to London, he said, I think you're still paying for the helicopter. It was true. So Prabhupada didn't, my point is that Prabhupada would accept any conditions for the service of Krishna. Traveling and preaching, he went to Malaysia. They in those days there was no highways, it was rough roads and not very nice cars with no air conditioning. And Prabhupada accepted it, traveling in the motor car for so many hours. And when they got there, they said, Prabhupada, do you want to rest for some time? We can do the program. You must be tired after the journey. Prabhupada said, after accepting so much austerity of coming here, certainly I want to preach. I don't want to rest. So this try to understand Prabhupada's mood in distributing Krishna consciousness. Like that, we should also be willing to tolerate different conditions for the service of Krishna. Devotee is tolerant. We can accept any kinds of condition. We just simply want some service for Krishna. That is our only greed, right? We're not anxious for anything else other than for some service. Just give me some service. Please engage me in your service. That is our constant prayer, that we can always be engaged in some service. Please engage me in your service. A nice example was Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, a Damvasi. Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu is also a Damvasi. So we remember also Vibhu Chaitanya, that how he came at the opening of the Vrindavan temple and he was in charge of cooking for the deities. And he would cook for the deities every day. And he told Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, because I'm cooking every offering every day, I have to chant my rounds when I'm cooking. Prabhupada said, that's all right, you do it. So you cooked every offering every day and chanted his rounds at the same time. But then he got older and his health got bad. He was not able to do that service. So he took up another service and he would give Charanamrita. He would sit every day and he would give Charanamrita with great love and devotion. Anybody who got Charanamrita from his hand would be overwhelmed with the love in which he would give Charanamrita. So he did that up until he could no longer come from his room down to the temple room. Until he was helpless. And that is the mood of devotee, that we want to carry on preaching. We see Prabhupada in that same mood, on his back in Vrindavan, dictating Bhaktivedanta purports to his last breath. So that is the example which has been taught to us by our founder Acharya. And we should also aspire that we can continue in that same mood. That is actual renunciation. Not that we have to go to the forest, not that we have to reject the world, but that we have to engage in Krishna's service. Then our mind and senses will be always controlled. If we're always engaged in Krishna's service, we will not have to worry about maintaining brahmacharya or controlling our mind or senses. Just keep yourself busy in Krishna's service. Another example from our Krishna consciousness movement was Jayananda Prabhu. When people would ask him his opinion about something, some kind of political issue in the temple, he would simply reply, "I'm too busy to think about it, Prabhu. I'm too busy to think about it." This is the healthy thinking of a devotee. Keep ourselves always busy, always engaged in Krishna's service. And so long as we're always engaged in Krishna's service, Maya cannot touch us. That is the safe position. Hare Krishna. Any question? Any comments? Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
Maharaj, Hare Krishna. What are the spiritual benefits of controlling the life air? And by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, can one control the life air?
Prabhupada did say that chanting Hare Krishna is also pranayama. Now, pranayama is controlling the life air. You know, usually people do this pranayama, they want to prolong the life. They want to have good health and prolong the life. So Prabhupada said, chanting Hare Krishna, that is pranayama. By chanting Hare Krishna, we're doing that, you also get some control over the life airs. Of course, we're not simply interested in long life. Prabhupada said, trees live a very long time. But if you have consciousness just simply like a tree, it is not a great credit. Shankaracharya was in this world for only 32 years, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifest for only 48 years, but they did great work in their time, with that time. He said, Prabhupada says, better one moment of full consciousness than a lifetime of consciousness like a tree. So, you know, we're not interested in just controlling the life air for long life. Of course, pranayama is also part of the Ashtanga Yoga system, and that leads to dharana, jnana, dhyana and samadhi. To the, you know, the goal of Ashtanga Yoga is samadhi. And that samadhi, perfection of that samadhi, is that they will take up Krishna consciousness. And so Ashtanga Yoga in other ages, then people practice that Ashtanga Yoga process for many, many thousands of years. Great difficulty, so much trouble they go to perform these kind of processes. But the chanting of Hare Krishna, the Krishna consciousness activities are very easy to perform. All these other processes are so difficult and so much trouble. You make advancement very slowly with great difficulty. But the Krishna conscious process is very rapid, very powerful, very effective. In no time at all, people change. All the bad habits can be given up and they can become staunch devotees of Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name. But if you do the pranayama, press your nose back and forth, breathe in and out, hundreds of years, what will you get? What satisfaction do you get? Still, there is old age, disease, and death. You have to take birth again in the material world. So the Ashtanga Yoga process was not for this age at any rate, but in other ages it was possible.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaja, how to recognize that point where our service, we are in the service, we are deriving more sense gratification than pleasing authority and Krishna. The point, if I am doing my service from the in the mood of sense gratification,
can you give me an example?
In the course of your presentation, Maharaja, you said that the service should be not pleasing to ourselves, but should please Krishna.
Yeah, my point is, whatever is required to be done, we should be willing to do it. You know, we shouldn't think, oh, I don't want to do that, you know, I don't like to do that service, let me do something, give me another service. Somebody may think, you know, I don't want to go for book distribution, you know, give me an office job, you know, let me sit in an office and type on a computer, you know. We should be willing to do whatever service is required. Somebody has to worship the deities, somebody has to cook, and somebody has to also distribute books. We have to all do some type of service for Krishna. So, we can't always be picking and choosing exactly what I will do for Krishna. There has to be some organization. So we have to do whatever is required for Krishna's service. That is pleasing to Krishna. When we put aside our own desires and do whatever is required for Krishna. Indrajumna Maharaj describes, as a young devotee, he was always out on book distribution. Later on he became a sannyasi, traveling and preaching, but before he did that, he was on Sankirtan. He was out every day distributing books. And he says, he's willing also to go back to that service if the need is there. Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, Jayananda was asked by Dhanavir a similar question about, you know, where do you find enjoyment when you're off hours in Krishna consciousness? And he said, well, I got no time to think about it.
No time.
Busy all the time.
Where do you find your enjoyment in when you're...
Yeah, I have no... I mean, he asked and also about the politics in this kind. He said, you know, and what do you do in your leisure hours?
And what you do in your leisure hours.
I don't have any leisure hours. I'm working all the time. I never stop.
Yeah.
And in this chapter, just a few verses from now, it tells about this, about pranayama. Dancing, the chanting, and everything we do is pranayama. You know, we're making perfection as we talk. And there's another thing Jayananda did. He was a bum on the street. And he says, listen, I came here to eat something. I mean, you're making me work like a dog, and I didn't get anything to eat. He says, well, anything is we use here is Krishna prasad. So he took a big handful of grease. You know what that is. It's like put on axles to make it work. It's just big, thick petroleum jelly, and he ate that. Maha prasad. So whatever he did, I mean, he was exemplary. He was quite a personality. So even eating grease is Maha prasad.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, as you are telling that, Maharaj, also that we have to do the needful, whatever is required. But also, Maharaj, if we are engaged according to our propensities, you know, we can continue for a long time and also maybe like to enjoy doing the service and we'll be happily situated also.
Well, Krishna will arrange that. Some, you know, you have to be patient to find that right engagement. You have to be sometimes a little patient. It may not immediately happen that you're able to get the service which you feel you're particularly suited to. It may take some time. So you have to be willing to be patient. And just like Gopi Paranadana Prabhu, you know, he's got a school in Govardhan. He's training Sanskrit editors. So I remember Gopi Paranadana when he joined the movement in New York in the Brooklyn Temple. Yadubara Prabhu was there. I think. So Gopi Paranadana, you know, he came from college and he was a linguist. He knew so much. He'd been studying languages, and you know, he came to become a devotee. You know, he didn't immediately go to get a, he didn't immediately get his own Sanskrit department and everything. You know, he did a lot of service in the temple. He used to wash the pots and work in the kitchen, do so many things. You know, eventually he got his found his groove. You know, he had that talent. You know, he was very qualified to be the Sanskrit editor for Prabhupada's books. But it didn't happen immediately. It took some time. So like that, you know, you have to be patient. And that, you know, you may not immediately get the particular service which you would really like to do. But if you keep that desire, then Krishna will eventually arrange. Man proposes and God disposes. So you have to have faith. Krishna is a controller. You know, if you're meant to do some, you want to do some particular thing for Krishna, Krishna will arrange it. But in the meantime, you have to keep engaged. It's not that, oh, I can't do anything else, I can only do that. That is not a good thing. You know, if we're saying, no, I can't do anything, I'm only going to, then that's not positive. We have to be willing to do whatever is necessary, according to time, circumstances, like that. Previously, you know, most of the temple, this temple, everybody would go out for life membership. Now, I don't know how, not so many are going on life membership. Now there's so many departments, many other programs. It's all important. It's all preaching. It's all for Krishna. So a devotee has to be flexible in service. Man proposes, God disposes.
Or we should wait for God to simply dispose?
We may have our particular desire, but we have to see what Krishna wants. If He wants to give us, if He wants to fulfill our desire, may not immediately happen. Like Prabhupada wanted to preach, you know, Prabhupada wanted to do so many things. It didn't happen immediately. It took some time. But Prabhupada kept going. Prabhupada gave the example, he said, just like in Indian railways, they had the saying, keep the wheels rolling. Sometimes the train doesn't go very fast, but try to keep the wheels rolling. So like that, you keep going forward, making some advancement. But if you stop, then you're finished. Okay. Hari Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, if someone does pranayam and yoga for the sake of, you know, to serve Krishna more efficiently without getting disturbed by any decision like that, so is that okay?
I'm not hearing. What's he say?
If someone does pranayam and yoga to serve Krishna more effectively and efficiently, so is that okay?
Want to do yoga?
If someone does pranayam and yoga so that he can serve Krishna more efficiently. So is that fine?
Yeah, bhakti yoga. We do bhakti yoga. That's the goal of all yoga, right? Bhakti yoga. Whatever you do it for Krishna. That's the important thing. It has to be for Krishna. Whatever you do. Must be for... Otherwise, shrama eva hi kevalam. Duties executed by all men are just useless labor if it does not provoke attraction for Krishna. If you become more involved with yoga and forget Krishna, then it's not good. But if you're using your yoga for preaching and for giving people Krishna consciousness, then it can be justified. You have to see. Sometimes people get too involved with the yoga and forget all about Krishna. So then it's useless. So you have to be careful. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.